Right. All right, if you guys would come in and find your seats. Good morning. So another Thanksgiving came and went. Another Black Friday came and went. Just keeps rolling by. Nice to be here with y'all. My name is Dove, if I haven't met you. And nice to be here. Thanks for the worship. Good morning. Thanks. Thank you, yeah. Yeah, that's nice, huh? Yeah, it's like family. You don't just, whatever. All right. So for Thanksgiving, we debated, and then we made the long haul, 9-hour drive to my grandma's house. There was 58 people that ate Thanksgiving dinner together in her little house, so we were all very cozy. Lots of little people, cousins, and she's got grandkids and great-grandkids and kids, all kinds of people, so very tiring and very refreshing somehow. All right, so we're going through a series called Disciple the Heart, and it's basically about what does it mean to follow God? And I don't know if you guys have pens around. Hopefully there's some in the pockets. I wanted you guys to, maybe on the back of your paper or somewhere, just, what do you think? What does it mean to follow God? What does that look like? And so if you have a pen, I want you to just jot down your own thoughts. What do you think? It's been kind of fun in this series. We're just going through, like, I guess verbs, just one words. What does it mean? And so we talked about follow, and then we talked about repent, and talked about discover, digging into God's word, talked about serving. We talked about uniting together, and I just want you to take a moment. What does that look like? What do you think it means to follow God? Describe that on your paper. So I apologize a little bit. I am a teacher, so it's like some people are like, what? We didn't come here to do homework. And it's interesting, as a teacher, they say that even the best lecture, you get a really good lecture, you actually learn more by something where you do it yourself because you're processing it. So today I have been traveling. I feel like I'm a little scattered today, and I'm excited. I feel like the Holy Spirit has got something to say to us and move here today. Just looking at life, it seems to me that it's so easy in life just for our walk. We call it our walk with God. Just this journey. I appreciated John talking about that. This journey of following God, this walk with God, it's so weird, this tendency for it to turn into kind of these duties and these obligations. And I find that in my own life, just like I'm tired and wore out, and I just feel like, oh, I got these obligations and these duties. And a walk with God was never intended to be a place of obligation and duty and a big burden on our backs. Oh, I gotta follow God. And I'm excited about today. Four weeks ago, I spoke about repenting, and it's interesting. I was talking to Steve. I think whatever we speak on, we get challenged in, and so I was definitely challenged that week, tested. Will I really repent? Will I really turn away from things in my life and turn to God? And I feel like today we're talking about enjoying. I've been really tested in this. Is this really true? This summer, before we went on a long trip, I sat down with Holly and we're kind of talking through some hard things and just kind of, I don't know, discussing it and what our lives are about. And Holly just gave me just a beautiful rebuke. And she later, I was in tears. And later she was apologizing. Oh, I'm sorry for making you feel bad. And I was like, do not stop. Do not relent. I need to hear that so much. And she was just talking about this. Like, sometimes what I pass on to our kids is that following God is this big burden. And it's so hard to figure out, how do you follow God? What is He asking of us? How do we turn away from just the craziness of this world and stay on track? And just, am I really passing on to my own kids when they grow up and say, wow, I want to follow God? There was so much joy in that for my dad. Such a beautiful journey. And so this is something that's kind of dear to me, and just thinking about it, it's like, this, to me, this is the key. It's not about all these duties and obligations. It's about enjoying a relationship with our Creator who loves us. And with all the voices and all the competition and all the lies, just loves us down to our core and just deeply wants to be with us and invites us in to be with Him and to walk with Him and enjoy Him and taste His love and His goodness. And that's what it's about. It's about enjoying Him. It's about being with Him. Imagine if there's a married couple and it's like, okay, you guys, you gotta love each other. If you told a newlywed couple, like, okay, this is what you really gotta do, you gotta be in love, you're like, that's it? Like, heck yeah, I can do that. Sweet. That's what it's about. It's about enjoying God. And I'm challenged in that, because sometimes I lose sight of that. And there's all this other stuff, and it's just enjoy God. Jesus opened a door for us to come and be with God. And we can be with God and enjoy Him and know and taste and feel His pure love for us. Just have the sweetness of that down in our soul that is so good and brings so much joy that is so satisfying. All right, let's pray. Father, thank You for this morning. Thank You that we could be here. Thank You, Jesus, for dying on the cross that we could be forgiven, that we could have new life, that we could have a relationship with God. Thank You, God, for inviting us into Your family, for not just making us slaves, but calling us Your sons and daughters, Your children, Your friends, Your beloved. Thank You for loving us so deeply. God, I ask that You would teach us this morning. I ask that You would let each of us walk in joy, just walk with You and know You more. Come and teach us. Come and fill us. Come and do Your work in us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. In Psalm 16:11, it says, You make known to me the path of life. In Your presence there is fullness of joy. At Your right hand are pleasures forevermore. There is true joy in knowing God. There is joy in being in His presence. So I was thinking about when Jesus was here on earth, He came, and when He started His ministry, He was maybe 30 years old, and He started calling people to follow Him. And He called people from different walks of life, some educated, some not educated, some a little wealthier, some very poor, and some very political, some possibly with no political interest. And He started calling them and just said, hey, come follow Me. Come follow Me. And These guys did. They left their jobs, they left their families, and they just started following Jesus. And they just started going with him. And he didn't really have a place to stay. They stayed in different places. They ate all different kinds of things. They never probably knew where their food was going to come from. And one time they're just walking through a field and they're just eating the grain that's growing in the field. And they just had an amazing journey, an amazing adventure of following Jesus. And he didn't just say, okay, we're just going to set up camp and we're going to stay here. But they started doing things. They started going all over. And they got to be a part of what Jesus was doing. One time Jesus did an amazing miracle and he fed thousands of people with just a small amount of food. And his followers, his disciples, got to pass that food out and be a part of that. Pass it out. And they got to see these miracles. They got to see Jesus heal people and cast out demons. And then Jesus even sent them out for a time to go on their own in twos and to do that themselves and to heal and cast out demons and to tell people about the good news that there's a kingdom of heaven. God is establishing a kingdom. And they went and told people about this kingdom, not just this life on earth. And they were together maybe 3 years and then Jesus died. And for them it was like crazy. I mean, this guy they've been following, they just invested everything into following Jesus and then he's gone. And then he came back from the dead. And they saw him and they were with him and were like, wow, this is amazing. And then I don't think they really knew what to do, so they started going back and they're fishing and just going back to work and stuff. And Jesus tells them, wait here and God's gonna send the Holy Spirit to you. And so they're all together in Jerusalem and the Holy Spirit comes and just this amazing display of power and just transforms these men from the inside. They start sharing about Jesus all over. Thousands of people start coming to Jesus. And to me, it's like, this is like phase two of their following God. The first phase, they're like following Jesus in the body, going where he's going. And now they're like following by this power, by the indwelling of God in the Holy Spirit in their life. And the disciples did amazing things, and lots of others, these people that came to Christ. And they had the power of the Holy Spirit to do miracles and to have words to speak. And they continued on. Most of them started being persecuted. People told them to shut up. They told them to stop talking. They just put them in jail. Some of them were put to death in horrible ways, but to the end, they just kept following. And along the way, one of the guys who was really trying to get rid of these Jesus followers, named Saul, was putting them to death. He was like taking their property, doing stuff to them, and he's going to persecute some other ones to really put them in jail, and bam, he gets struck by lightning. He gets struck by Jesus himself, just comes to him, says, what are you doing? Why are you fighting against me? And so this guy, Saul, God changes his name to Paul. And he starts, by the power of the Spirit, going all over the world as well and just transforming the world and just sharing about this love of Christ and this grace and how to walk in his grace and be a part of this kingdom. And so as I think about it, it's like, okay, we cannot follow Jesus like the disciples did. Jesus is not here in a body. We can't go where he goes and eat what he eats. But we have been given, those who have received the Holy Spirit have received God, have received the power of God. And we walk with God in his presence in the new way of the Holy Spirit. And that is intended to be an amazing adventure. And I think about Paul towards the end of his life. He's in prison. And he's just thinking about his life and all these credentials he has. And in Philippians 3:7 he says, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. And I love that. He just says, I count everything as loss compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. There's nothing so great in all the things that I have experienced, in all the things that other people would say, wow, that makes you great. There's nothing in any of that worth as much as knowing Christ. Just knowing Christ is the joy, just the beauty of that. And I wrestle with this in my own life. This is probably the thing I pray for the most, is just to really just abide, be stuck with, remain in the love of Christ. To know his love and to walk in his power. And the Holy Spirit is not, it's not like a power that we control or some kind of, I don't know, some kind of force. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is the nature of God, and we are given the Holy Spirit just as a gift. We're given the Holy Spirit just by asking for that gift, and then we are able to walk knowing Christ, following Christ, enjoying Christ day by day. Here's a few quotes I think are really powerful. C.S. Lewis in The Weight of Glory says, indeed, if we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by an offer of a holiday at the sea, we are far too easily pleased. God intended for us to have a life of joy, to have a life of our desires being filled, of having a life of good things, of having this amazing life. And it's not the best we can come up with is, man, if I can just get drunk and have sex with somebody, that would be like, that's like the highest. That's like so great. And he's like, man, that's pathetic. That's all you want in life? What God offers us is like way above that. He wants to offer us something even greater. Why would we be satisfied with just, man, if I'm super successful in life, that's like the greatest thing I want? Like, no, God offers us something even greater. We should pursue even greater. We should desire even greater pleasure, not be satisfied with these lower pleasures. John Piper, in his book Desiring God, says, I find in the Bible a divine command to be a pleasure seeker. And when you first read that, you're like, no, I don't think that's what the Bible says. And then, but when he clarifies, it's like, okay, that is to forsake the two-bit, low-yield, short-term, never satisfying, person-destroying, God-belittling pleasures of the world, and to sell everything with joy in order to have the kingdom of heaven and thus enter into the joy of our master. And sometimes the greatest thing we desire is just like a new iPhone. That's like the best thing I could even possibly think of. And I tell you right now, whenever the iPhone 13 comes out, knowing God is way better. Way better. And at the end, if not, if there's nothing greater than just what we can get right here, then what a waste of time to even desire to go to heaven. What is in heaven that's worth going to heaven? God Himself, being with God. And I know that there is nothing so great in the entire world as sweet and as pleasant as being in the presence of God and knowing His love and enjoying Him. And yet we get so distracted, we get so clouded, we get, oh man, if I could just get an A in all my classes, that would be the best thing I could ever have. It's like, that would be cool. There's something way better. Something way better for us. The deepest, this is John Piper again, the deepest and most enduring happiness is found only in God. Not from God, but in God. The pursuit of pleasure is a necessary part of all worship and virtue. That is, the chief end of man, the entire reason people were created, is to glorify God by enjoying Him forever. That's cool. I like that. Our main reason for life is to glorify God, and we do that as we enjoy Him. Just talking about worship. Can you imagine worshiping without actually having any pleasure in it? Just like, yeah, God, you're awesome. You're so cool. Like, there's no real worship in that. We were talking about one of the best ways to see people worship is to go to a football game. It's like, you can see what worship is. It's just like crazy people jumping around, high-fiving absolute strangers. Just like, yeah! There's pleasure in that. That's how it's supposed to be. It's like, God, you are amazing. That we should have pleasure in enjoying how amazing God is. We should have pleasure in our virtue, in walking in what God asks us to walk in. I'm like, oh, great, God asked me to do this. I guess I'll do it because it's the right thing to do. If we only could taste the treasures of heaven, which we have no real glimpse of completely, I guess, are the people who really understood Him have given their entire lives for what's in store in heaven. God offers us such amazing things, such joy. We have joy here in this life and then even fuller in His presence after this life. For those who have put their trust in Christ. All right, so joy. It's interesting, looking through the verses on joy, it's amazing to me how many are together with suffering. In fact, I think the book of Philippians is the book that talks about rejoicing and joy and delighting the most of any of the ones in the New Testament. And it's written from prison. And it's amazing to read Paul. He's just like, man, I am just overflowing with joy. It's like, you're in jail, man. And it's not circumstantial. And in fact, maybe it's reverse. Like, and I feel like this is something that, like I said, I've been challenged to really chew on these thoughts and prepare it. I've been challenged. I think there's this deep, deep spiritual truth that says there is joy in the middle of suffering that I have only tasted and I have not grasped the fullness of that. And yet I see from a distance that it's very true. And those disciples we were talking about, They walked in this in Acts 5. I love this section. Verse 40, and when they had called in the apostles, so it was the disciples, they beat them. That's no thank you. And they charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. That's so powerful to me. There was no like, just sow it. Hey, we got to remind you guys, don't forget, if you sow the seeds of the gospel, they'll grow. There's no sense of like, man, I should tell people about Jesus. I know it's the right thing to do, but I'm scared. It's just like, they beat us for sharing about Jesus. This is great. It's like, are you serious? They think we're worthy to share with Jesus, to share in his honor, to share that dishonor, to share with him. We get to take part in that. How convicting, how beautiful. And of course they didn't stop. If there's joy in that, how can you be stopped? It's like, there's joy in what is that joy? Where does that come from? I made a list one time of benefits I think there are from suffering, biblically. And no, I'm not at that point, and I'm not that into suffering. And I don't pray for you guys to suffer. I pray for you to have strength through your suffering and to find joy in it. But what is it? How could there be joy in suffering? And just, I think part of it is just, there's all this stuff of the world that gives us a little bit of joy, pseudo joy. And when that gets stripped away, when the appreciation of other people, which is a big one that for me gives me joy, pseudo joy, and that I like people to like me. And when that gets stripped away, it's like there's nothing left to turn to, and it's almost like the joy of God is that much more clear, that much more pure, because some of those other things have been taken away. We have nothing left to turn back to. And in that, we get just a greater amount of him. I don't know. That's kind of part of my wrestle. You know, it's like thinking, that is beautiful. And I have tasted that is real, but I don't walk in that all the time. This one is just startling. In Luke 6, Jesus said, "Blessed," which means happy, "are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets." Whoa. And it's interesting, Jesus doesn't say like, in the middle of all this hardship, have a little glow of joy in your heart. But it's outward. It's leap for joy. I want to give you guys a demonstration of what it means to leap for joy, so that you have like a picture for that. And so, I'm not going to do a very good job, but sorry, Mark. Some of you guys saw Michael Jordan. It's called The Shot. And the Bulls beat the Cavaliers in the 89 playoffs. And the Cavs were supposed to pound them. And they probably should have. And there's 3 seconds left. Michael Jordan has already, you know, carried the team. And so they're passing the ball in. Michael Jordan's running all over the place to try to get the ball. They're, of course, guarding him big time. And he gets the ball with probably a second left, pops up and shoots it, and then makes it miraculously, and then jumps for joy. And I want to show you kind of what that looks like. Whoop. I don't know if I should take this off. Sorry. Josh, I'm killing you. I'm sorry. If I jump, is it going to fly off my face? Okay, so you gotta imagine a very athletic person instead of me, but, so, yeah. All right, so Jordan's running all over the place, crazy. He finally gets the ball, pops it, makes it, comes over. Yeah! Who's seen it? All right, one more time. That's it. It's and you should watch it. Yeah, they you should watch it, along with the other 5 million people who have on YouTube. Of course, there's multiple videos. If you add them up, it's who knows. And it's coming up close to 20 years later. And people still watch that video and go, wow, that is so amazing. That is unbelievable. Wow. And at the end of life, when we look back at videos of people's lives, no one is going to look back and go, check this video out in heaven. Hey, check this video out of Michael Jordan. Isn't that cool? He put that round ball in that round hoop. That was unbelievable. That was amazing. No, at the end of this life, people are going to say, let's watch that video again of this person. This is unbelievable. People said the world would be better if they were gone. The world hated them because of Jesus, and they kept walking in love. They kept walking and honoring Christ. And the rewards in heaven and just the praise for that is so much greater than the things that are praised now. And there will be leaping, mighty leaping for joy for that. And yet it's so easy to lose sight of, like, whoa, let's watch that video again. This is of great joy. There is great joy in what is happens, in what people do to honor their Lord, to show their love for the one who has loved them so completely. In Romans 5, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Yeah. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. And that last verse 5 really struck me recently. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wasn't given to us just so that we could go and be witnesses and do things for God. The Holy Spirit was given to just pour God's love into our hearts and just to soak us, to drench us, just saturate us with the love of God in our hearts. And from that, we have the opportunity to walk by his power and share that with the world. Joy comes from the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 5:22, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. It's not something we have to create. It's a fruit. It comes from the Holy Spirit. Looking at that passage a little more, starting in 16, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. All those desires we have and all those tendencies to turn towards sin or to turn towards whatever that we can't really, like, fight on our own, as we walk by the Spirit, we will not gratify those desires. We have the power by the Holy Spirit to walk the life of Christ. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. As we enjoy the Spirit, let us go where the Spirit leads us. Let us go. Bill Bright says, every day can be an exciting adventure for the Christian who knows the reality of being filled with the Holy Spirit and who lives constantly, moment by moment, under His gracious direction. And I don't know about you, but when I read that, that is the hunger of my heart, moment by moment. And that's my desire, to turn more and more of my life over, to walk moment by moment, filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to anyone who believes and receives the gift of Christ that He offered us by His blood. And then we can be filled by the Spirit and walk in the power of the Spirit. That moment by moment. So it's a day by day. It's a moment by moment thing. It's not just one time. Oh, wow. The Spirit moved in my life and that was cool. But we have an opportunity moment by moment to just come back. And just as we receive the Spirit by asking, He fills us as we just confess where we're at, turn, and ask. So, I feel like it's a little backwards, honestly. Will you guys pass out those little cards? I want to challenge you guys this week. I don't know if anybody last week took some time to get away and just kind of give thanks. But I want to challenge you guys to try to find a time this week where you can get away beyond just whatever normal time you spend with God. Set some time aside and just chew on this. Just be with God. And the reason it's a little backwards is because, like I said, this is moment by moment. This is day by day. This is the desire is to walk filled with the Spirit, not just have one time of going and being with God. But they're kind of like the little appointment cards you get if you go to the dentist or whatever. And they're like, your next appointment is in 6 months. And then you throw the card away when they call you anyways. But I want you to think about it. Is there some time this week when you could get away for some extra time with God? Maybe it's only 10 minutes. Maybe it's 30. And just have an honest heart-to-heart with God where you're at. And enjoy Him. And hopefully it's more of a lifestyle than it is just an appointment every now and then. But just to cultivate that enjoyment of the intimacy and the adventure of a relationship with God. Paul says, my desire is to be with Christ. You can just, as you read that, it's just his, you can just tell, I just want to be with Christ. In the Psalms it says, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. And they had to go to the temple to be in the presence of God. We can go anywhere. We are in His presence here. Delight yourself in the Lord. Enjoy. Enjoy the Lord. Not just the things He gives us, but Him Himself, God. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for You, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God, When can I go and meet with God? And so if you accept the challenge, I want you to think of a time and write it on the card. When can you spend some extra time with God? Talk about whatever you want, but just, I think it would be cool to, especially if you feel like you're far from God, ask God to bring you in. Accept that invitation. Ask God to begin a relationship. Admit where you're at and receive that gift. Ask for the Holy Spirit. If you know you have the Holy Spirit, but maybe you haven't been walking by His power, ask God to fill you afresh and to just in that moment walk as He directs you. Maybe it's a good time to celebrate what God's doing. Just enjoy His love. Or maybe it's a time for you to talk about anything that's keeping you from enjoying Him or following Him. What are some obstacles? What distracts you? What keeps you from that? They're also passing out a paper just for some extra study on this. I do want to challenge you guys. Don't let this be just something you hear. Don't let it be just something you study. But walk. Walk in it. Walk with Him, the Holy Spirit. God with us. God in us. At the end of their lives, I guarantee you, none of the disciples looked back and their buddies said, "Hey, you know when you were off following Jesus? Man, we caught so many fish. You would have never believed it. I mean, we caught, 1 year we caught thousands of fish. We bought a new house." I guarantee you, at the end of their lives, none of them looked back and said, "I'm not sure if I could go back if I would follow Jesus the whole way." I guarantee you, all of them, gladly rejoicing, said, "What? How wonderful." And I know at the end of our lives, to the extent that we enjoy and follow God, we'll never regret it. And there's not like, I feel in my life, I'm never as close as I want to be. I'm never enjoying God as much as I want. I'm never whatever. Appreciate where you're at. Appreciate this. If you have a small taste of the love of God, enjoy that small taste. Enjoy it. Walk in it. Thank God for the small amount you've been given. If you feel healed from a small wounds and you still have these other wounds in your life, appreciate that. Appreciate those things and let God continue His work. And let's pray. God, thank You so much for Your presence. Thank You that we can enjoy a relationship with You, that it's not a burden, that You haven't just commanded us to do things for You, but we get to walk with You. We get to go where You go. We get to know Your thoughts. God, I just tell You, it's a struggle. I get distracted and I lose sight and I don't know sometimes if it's Your voice. And there's times when I'd rather do my own thing. And I just thank You that You still let us. You let me walk with You. You let me come back and go where You're going. Thank You for loving me so deeply. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for having joy in us. Thank You that we can enjoy You. May we enjoy You. May we fall more in love with You. In Jesus' name, amen.